I'm going to pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for what you've done for us, and we are here for you. I pray, Jesus, that you'll help us to focus on you right now, and we believe that you are real, and we believe that you are here, and we believe that there is power in the Word of God, and we want you to speak to us, and we don't want to be the same people when we leave here that we are now. We want to be changed by you, changed by your Word, changed by the Bible, changed by your Holy Spirit. So will you please speak to us? Change us. We believe in you, Jesus, and we want you. We want more of you. We want to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Did anyone notice anything strange about the song that I was playing right before we started? What was weird about it?
I couldn't hear it.
We couldn't stop it.
You couldn't stop it. It was looping, right? And it kind of kept going, and then would go back to kind of a weird spot and then keep going. And I don't know if it feels the same to any of y'all, but for me to listen to that was like, I really want it to stop repeating. I really want it to just move on and move forward. And that's the thing. We, as humans, we want linear progress. We want to move forward. And I need to stand right where you're sitting, Esteban, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
All right, Esteban!
Oh, yes.
And...
that's my brother.
Look, we... and it happens this way in lots of different areas in life. But if this is how old you are, and this is any number of things, but let's just say money. Let's say as the years go on, we hope and what we want is to be going. There might be some downs occasionally, but generally we want the overall movement to be up and onward, forward progress. And that's what we want in our lives, is forward, linear progress. And money is one thing that we want, that forward progress, and that hopefully you have more money when you're 30 than you do now. But what are some other things that you might want linear progress in as the years go on?
Not fingernailing.
What?
Not fingernailing.
Fingernailing.
Okay. Longer. Friends. Oh, not fingernails. Yes.
Friends.
Friends? Yeah.
Christ.
What was the question?
What are some other things that we want to see linear progress in life?
Christ.
In your relationship with Jesus, there's a cross.
Ooh.
What else?
Education.
Princess.
Education.
Smart.
I'm going to draw
a book.
Glasses.
A book. A book. It's a thick. It's a small book.
Draw lines on, like.
I'm not worried about it.
Draw different lines.
What else? What else do you want to see progress in?
Your drawing.
You want to see progress in your relationships? See what I did there?
Oh.
Nope. Somebody said
muscles.
Somebody said athletics. That's a dumbbell.
There we go. Yeah, that's good. See, and, your progress.
And that's a.
You're making progress.
That's a medal. That's a medal for athletic achievement.
Facial hair.
Facial hair.
Just draw a mustache.
Just draw the Lincoln guy.
That's only for guys, though.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, there's lots of different areas that we as humans, we want, we desire, we long for linear progress, to be able to say, I'm moving forward and I'm further along than I used to be, and we want that. And some of that has to do with something that we're good at, maybe, that we want. Think about for you, what do you have goals in life that you want to get good at and be better at? And it might have to do with something that you're particularly good at that you may want to do for a living, that you want to continue to increase and get better and better. What for you, just answer this in your mind, what for you is going to be your goal of linear progress that you want to stay on this incline and this forward moving progress for your life? What is that for you? And I want you to think about what would happen if you have these goals and you don't meet them. What happens to you then? What do you do with your life if you geared your whole life and your entire identity around one particular goal and God doesn't let you achieve it? What happens then? And sometimes we will have some sort of goal in mind that we will put all of our energy and all of who we are, all of our heart and soul into some goal that we are going to achieve. And if we think that if we achieve that goal, we're going to find satisfaction. And then if we get that taken away from us, or we don't are not able to reach that, then what happens? And the sad truth is that even though this is what we want, this is not how life works. In fact, God has kind of rigged life on planet Earth to not be so much about linear progress, but you know what it looks more like? It looks more like you start to move forward, and this looks like progress, feels like progress, and right about here when you think you're just going to take off into new heights, then right about there is when you start to descend a little bit. And then you eventually start to even actually move backwards. And then it comes back around. And this is how God has rigged life on planet Earth. It is not linear. It is cyclical. And there's times when you think you're going to move forward, you want to move forward, and God will put up some sort of obstacle that'll put you back at zero. And if everything in you is placing trust and value in that goal, and God doesn't give it to you, you're going to be sadly disappointed and broken. What if God doesn't want us moving forward? What if God has planned life on planet Earth to be cyclical rather than linear? Well, take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And keep in mind for you, what is that? Keep in the back of your mind, what is it that you want to progress in? Ecclesiastes. And after you find it, help the person next to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And if you remember, Solomon just got done telling us, if you're looking for satisfaction on planet Earth, in the physical realm, remember the three words that he used over and over again in the book?
Vanity.
Under the sun. He used a lot of words over and over again. He says vanity, meaningless. But if you're looking for satisfaction under the sun on planet Earth, you're not going to find it. If you're trying to find meaning here, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find meaning or satisfaction here on planet Earth. You're going to be unsatisfied. And so now he's going to talk about, you're also not going to find it in progress, because God has actually designed life on planet Earth to be repetitive and cyclical. Listen to verse 4. It says, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. So planet Earth, when compared to humans, is a forever kind of a thing. And we live and die, and then we're replaced by another generation who lives and dies, replaced by another generation. Do you see this cycle happening? Generations come and go. We are temporary. We're a lot like the mayfly. Have y'all ever seen one of these guys? That's a mayfly. And mayflies typically do not live past 24 hours. Their lifespan is one day. And guys, our lives are just as temporary, but just on a slightly longer scale. It just depends on what you're comparing it to. Compared to the eternity of God, we're just a tiny little infinitesimal blip in history. And we are temporary. That's why it says the generations come and go. It's just like repetition, cyclical. We live, we die, someone takes our place. But we as humans, we're only one part of the cyclical nature of planet Earth. We're one part of nature, and... Oh, I'm sorry, bro.
You're terrorist. That's good.
Nature repeats. That's how God designed it. And another way to think about it is that nature is never filled. It's never finished. Nature never says, okay, that's good enough, and then stops trucking. It's never finished. It's never satisfied. It continues in this never-ending cycle. And someone read for me the first thing that he talks about in nature that's cyclical. Somebody read verse 5 for me.
The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises.
Right on. So, planet Earth is cyclical. It rises and it sets and comes round and round, and it continues to rise and continues to set. The sun is cyclical. And somebody read verse 6.
The wind goeth toward the south and turns about unto the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits.
Right on. So the wind also is cyclical. It just keeps going round and round and round in this endless cycle. Now somebody read verse 7.
All the rivers flow into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again.
Okay, y'all know what I'm drawing here?
Yeah,
water cycle.
The water cycle. See there? Cyclical. See? Round and round it goes, right? Evaporates into clouds, drops it, and round it goes. So, water too is cyclical, and over again you see in nature all these different parts and pieces that just keep going round and round. And but verse 7 has a word that the other two don't. It says that the sea is never full. The sea never gets so much water that it says, okay, that's enough, and then halts the water cycle. It never has enough, which another way of saying that is that it's never satisfied. It's like my stomach when I'm at CC's looking at those cinnamon rolls. It's like I keep going back, and I go and I get one, and I come back, and then I put it in, and as soon as it hits my stomach, it's like it's disintegrated. And so I go back, and I get more, and round this thing goes, and I'm never full. I'm never satisfied. Now that, I do have a problem. I need to stop. I need to stop that cycle. That's a cycle that needs to stop. But the idea is that nature just keeps going and is never finished, never satisfied, and never says that's enough. It just keeps on going. It's a repetitive cycle, and God has made it that way for a purpose. But guys, look, not only is nature repetitive, also life repeats. Nature repeats and life repeats. And this adds the human component, and I mean human activity and our involvement on planet Earth. Our lives are repetitive. There are things that repeat in our lives. And another way of saying it is that we as humans are never filled. We are never satisfied. Just like the sea is never satisfied, we are never satisfied. Listen to verse 8. It says, all things are wearisome. What's another word for wearisome? What does that mean?
Tired.
Tired. Tiring.
Worn out.
Worn out.
Huh? Full of labor.
Full of labor. Yeah. Which will also wear you out, right? And so, all things wear you out. More than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. So there's two things there that it says never get filled. What are the two things?
Eyes and ears.
Our eyes and our ears. Look, guys, these are two devices that we as humans use to interact with and interpret our world, the physical realm. This is how we interact. These sensory organs get data and help us interact with everything that's where?
Under the sun.
These are the things that we use to try to find satisfaction or find what we need under the sun. And when we use these physical organs to try to find physical satisfaction to be filled under the sun, what does it say? The ear never has enough. And the ear never has its fill of hearing. So things in the physical realm, it's monotonous, it's wearisome, it wears you out, and it will never, ever satisfy you. Nothing under the sun will ever satisfy. Remember I said we talked about how our souls, just like your stomach and will growl when it's hungry, your soul is always growling, always longing, always wanting something to satisfy it. And it's not going to come from anything that we can see or hear. It's not going to come from anything under the sun. And so life is repetitive, meaning we'll keep looking for these things over and over again and never be satisfied. Just the way the sea will never be filled, our eyes and ears will never be filled, but we keep looking, we keep trying to find satisfaction under the sun. So, another thing that we will do as humans, we'll say, okay, I'm not being satisfied by what I see or I hear, so let me try something new. Let me try to make something new, or let me try to do something that's new. Then I'll be satisfied. And Solomon is going to say, basically, that's a waste of time to try to make or try to do something or find something that's new as if that's going to satisfy you. He says in verse 9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So there's some things that just happen. That's what has been, will be, again. And there's some things that we, with a human component, that we will do to try to make happen. And he says, what has been done will be done again. So the things that, if you think you're doing something new, you're not. He says, there is nothing new under the sun. You might be thinking, well, surely there's got to be something. There's got to be something that we can find or discover on planet Earth that's something we can do that's new, right? Well, Solomon asks that question here in verse 10. He says, is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? No, it was here already. Long ago, it was here before our time. Before our time, which means before you were born, there were people that were alive that had the same exact idea that you had. And the only reason it feels new to you now is because they're dead. And they're not telling you about that idea that you have. So we think it's new, but it's because generations come and generations go that it seems new, but it's really not. It was here before our time. And so we continue this quest for something new. And some of you, you know people that want more than anything to be unique. who want more than anything to be sort of an innovator, to come up with new ideas, whether it's for fashion or style, that it's something they want to wear or style somehow, something that's brand new that nobody else has ever done. And everything is just like nature. It repeats cyclically. Like, this is out of date, but bell bottoms were in way back when, and then they came back in. And what's a current clothing that was out and is now back in? Leather was in when Bon Jovi first started doing stuff, and now it's kind of and big shirts. So high-waisted jeans. Those are so strange. And Chandler's hair. Okay, look, and this the big old stash that goes like this. This used to. This is like super old school, and now it's coming back.
Old school.
Like there's
like old school glasses.
There's nothing.
Yeah, old school.
Whether you're and think about music. People try to come up with something brand new, some new sound, and what do they end up doing? They end up taking samples of old stuff off of records and putting it in their song and then adding their own twist. And that's the best thing. Or you listen to a song and you think, this sounds just like the four chord progression of this song. And you can even sing that song with the intro of this other song, and it goes, wait, they totally ripped it off. Because there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. If you think it's new, it's just because the first guy's already died. There's nothing new. Yeah. The appearance of things being new is just our ignorance. From a human perspective, new is an illusion. There's nothing new under the sun. So Solomon is essentially saying, if you're thinking your significance, your purpose on earth is to be the one who comes up with something new, you might as well give up, because it's not going to happen. The quest for something new will not satisfy you. It's not going to happen. And even if you did find something new, people would forget about it. He says in verse 11, there is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. So even if you did come up with, somehow miraculously come up with a new idea, no one's going to remember it. And the people that are coming after you, no, they're going to think they have a new idea. Nobody's going to remember their ideas either. There's nothing new under the sun. So, Solomon seems to be saying, look, as far as trying to make progress, whether it's trying to come up with new ideas or trying to be bigger and better or trying to change the rhythm and pattern of how God has made planet Earth, if you're trying to make progress, you're wasting your time. This is kind of what Solomon is saying. If you're basing all of your significance and your purpose for being on planet Earth and your whole quest for satisfaction on making progress towards new or bigger or better, you won't be satisfied. And I have to ask, I have to think, okay, why would God do this? Would He do this just to be mean? He knows we want progress. He knows we want to move forward and be bigger and better. Why would He lock us into this repetitive cycle? And I think He wants to humble us. I think every time that I'm this close to reaching my goals and I get sucked back under to the cycle and I meet frustration or disappointment, I go back down, it's another reminder that, hey, Andy, you are not the God of your own universe. You don't have power or control over your own destiny, over your own future. And it's as if God is just reminding me each time, I'm in control. You need to rest in me and my plan and not find satisfaction in your plan or your goals. Find your satisfaction in me. Don't look for it on your small plans under the sun. Look for your satisfaction in me. And here's, we could talk for a long time about all the different things that repeat in our lives that frustrate us, the disappointments or things that keep happening over, or failures that happen over and over again that make us feel like, are you kidding me again? Why do I have to face this again? I thought I was past this. And each time those come up, I don't want you to be frustrated or angered or sad whenever you think you're about to move forward and you get sucked back under into this cycle. I don't want you to fight it. I don't want you to fight the cycle. I want you to embrace God's plan for planet Earth and His plan for your life. I went whitewater rafting one time, and the guide who knows what he's doing is telling us what to do. He's going to ride on the front of the boat and tell us what to do if we fall out and all this stuff. He freaked me out. He was like, okay, hey, look, if you fall out, you need to be aware that there's certain spots on this river that are called hydraulics, that underneath the surface of the water churns in this cyclical motion. And if you find yourself in a hydraulic, it will pull you down. And the worst thing you can do in that moment is to fight and flail, because then the current has all these different appendages to grab onto and spin, and you just, like, it will crush you and take you down. However, if you will embrace what's happening and go with the flow, don't fight it, ball up, it will take you and spit you out, and you'll be free, and you'll have life. And that's how our life works here on planet Earth. That whenever God has you locked into a cycle and something repeats, like your sister makes you so furious for the 100th time for the exact same thing, don't fight it. Remember, okay, I get it, God. You're in control. Let it turn you to Him and accept that plan, or you're trying to get on that team or make that grade or whatever it is and you fail again. Let it turn you to the Lord and say, okay, God, your plan is better than mine. I'm not going to fight this. I'm going to accept it. And I'm going to turn to you. And I don't want you to think of repetition as a bad thing. I don't want you to think of a cycle as a negative thing that's frustrating. Repetition is only a frustrating thing without Jesus. Because think about it. If you are trying to claw your way forward without God in your own strength, then and only then, when you face setbacks, will you be frustrated. But if you're looking at repetition with Jesus in mind, it's an opportunity for worship. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I want you to imagine that you're on a Ferris wheel. You know that big ride at the carnival where you just sit in the thing and you just go around and around? Imagine you're by yourself on that thing. And the first time you go around, you see this hat that somebody had dropped and is hanging on the rafter, and you kind of, first time around, then you come back around and you see it again, you kind of smile, and the next time it's like you don't even see it anymore. And you're just going around, same old thing, it's just you on this Ferris wheel. How many times do you go around before you're just like, okay, that was cool, but I'm ready to move on. I'm ready for something new. How long does that happen when you're by yourself, just looking to be satisfied by yourself on this Ferris wheel? It doesn't take very long, and you want to get off. Now, however, I want you to imagine yourself in that exact same scenario. Guys, think about that girl that you just think is gorgeous. Now, imagine she is there with you in that Ferris wheel, sitting right next to you. Now, you're stuck on this Ferris wheel, and the guy who's operating it is out to lunch, and you don't care because you love the company. And you go around, and every time you see that hat, you go, ah, look at this. Remember the time when we first saw the hat? That was so great. And you love it, and you rejoice in the repetition because you love who you're with. You see what I mean? How your company makes all the difference in the world when we're talking about repetition. Now, if you've accepted God's plan for your life and there happens to be some repetition or some frustration, it doesn't matter. You can rejoice because it's Jesus with you. Whenever you face that frustration again, you say, "Ah." And then you turn and you know Jesus is right here. You know He's in here. And you say, "Okay, Jesus, what are you trying to tell me through this? Thank you for being close to me." And it's an opportunity to worship Him and to pull in closer to Him every time. And it's like, wish I had time. Psalm 19, y'all need to go read it. It talks about the sun rising and setting and how it glorifies God. And the repetition of creation is a worship service. It's declaring the glory of God. And when we look at repetition and experience repetition, whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, if you remember Jesus is with you, it can be an opportunity for worship and an opportunity to get closer to Him. Jesus is more satisfying than linear progress. And what I mean by that is He's more satisfying than attaining all of your goals on your timeline. Who cares about that if you've got Jesus by your side? Rest in Him and enjoy the ride. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for being close to us. Thank you for the intimacy that we have with you, that you want to be a friend to us. You want a relationship with me. Help me to remember that when I'm frustrated again by the same thing. Help me to remember you are with me. And that you are enough. Help us to rejoice in the rhythm of our lives and rejoice in the rhythm of creation. Help us to worship you in the midst of it. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, small group, you go.